And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, you know, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Got a bunch of text messages. Let me catch up on some of those real quick and see what's going on. Brian from Huntsville says, Japan, like Hamas, never signed the Geneva Convention. And the Bataan Death March saw many atrocities. Regrettably, cutting out cancer often takes out healthy issues to end a conflict. Healthy tissue to end a conflict. I get it. You are correct, sir. Jeff from Indiana texted in, says, even Saddam Hussein's last words on the gallows were about the Palestinians. You know what? I don't remember what his last words were. I need to go back and look at that. But I hear you. Joe from Birmingham says, maybe we ought to float a balloon over Iran. That'll show them. Yeah, you know what, though? They'd probably shoot it down a whole lot quicker than we did. Just saying. Got a brand new texter in there who has yet to tell us who they are. Somebody let me know about the three-judge panel on the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals, I believe. Anyway, I'll check it out. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. And then we got Tony from Piedmont says, let's make a few comparisons. Palestinians versus Philistinians, Sunni versus Shiite, Persian Empire, Ottoman Empire, Romans won't be... And he says, what's 4,000 years of the same stuff? Hang on to your bloomers, Martha. Okay. I usually have to almost read Tony's text first before I can go on the air with him to make sure I know what I'm doing. And then Francisco from Huntsville says, question, what happened to the top Hamas brass in Qatar? Great question. One of the issues that we have right now is that there are some of the top leaders of Hamas who live in luxurious exile in Qatar. And it's you just look at it and go, wow. And so Qatar is, by the way, the place where supposedly the $6 billion that the Biden administration wanted to free up for Iran is somehow headquartered in their bank, the National Bank of Qatar or something like that. And you just look at it and go, gee, Manetti, really? So you're housing all of them. They're getting rich and living in luxurious lifestyles, and they're the ones saying, oh, by the way, all of you go to your deaths. We are not afraid to be martyrs. You're not going to be a martyr. No, you're too busy living a decadent lifestyle. I feel certain that you are abiding by all of the tenets of Islam, aren't you, as you live your decadent lifestyle. All right, listen, it goes on and on. By the way, Raven from Russell just texted me, and he says, speed, surprise, and violence of action gets it done quick. I agree. Tactical pause, that just means you're reloading. That's what I say. All right, listen, we got a lot more on the tap. We're going to come back here in a minute, and I'm going to switch gears. So there's some things happening in the political environments, like who's running where? That's number two on the triple dipper. Who's running where? Did you hear what happened this weekend? Is there somebody going to run for the new Congressional District 2 in Alabama? Apparently. Does that somebody live in the Congressional District? Apparently not. Interesting. Has a Democrat made his or her appearance yet in that race? Apparently not. When does the qualifying close? Apparently it closes this Friday. Wow. Anybody going to run? Anybody? Bueller? I don't think he's here. Exactly. Well, so we'll see, man. I don't know. It's just anyway, we'll talk about several of these when we get back from this break. Congressional District 1, Congressional District 2, and then, oh, by the way, what's happening with Trump even today? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. I'm just talking about, wow, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. I mean Alabama. This one right here, Alabama. Y'all, we go like way down south of Birmingham. We go like way up north of Huntsville. I'm talking about Tuscaloosa all the way back over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. Sometimes I gotta spice it up with the formatting there, but yeah, I love the opportunity to be on so many different radios around the state. We're told that we speak to a huge audience. Like right now, we estimate that between the various stations you listen to us on, we have an audience of well over 30,000 or more per week, and that's just big doings. Speaking of which, if you listen to the commercials that are playing in the mid-cycle between different segments, you may be thinking, how do I get to advertise on Right Side Radio? I mean, you may have a business that has goods or services, and you know other Right Side ruffians would just soon use yours as anybody else's. Well, if you'd like to advertise on this show, we'd love to talk to you. Y'all, the way you do that is you don't contact the station because we own the content. We own the show. You contact us directly. You go to rightsideradio.org. That's rightsideradio.org. And then just send us a message. We'll get back to you right away. Love to get you on the team. Yeah, advertise on rightsideradio.org. It sounds like a great idea to me. Number two on the Triple Dipper, who's running where? Well, there's several things that are happening. And by the way, not all of these affect where you live, depending on where you're listening. I get it. We're pretty locked in the northern part of the state, all right? We had some changes in terms of counties. Like, for instance, Boomer and I are now sitting right now in what is soon to be Congressional District 3, whereas we used to always be in 4. But for the most part, you can expect that the strong incumbency will still be Dale Strong up in the Huntsville area. You've got Robert Adderholt in CD4, which covers a swath right below Huntsville, across from Mississippi over to the Georgia line. And then you've got District 3, which runs down the eastern side of the state. That's Congressman Mike Rogers. Then you've got Gary Palmer, which had his lines redrawn somewhat, but he's still going to be able to run run for his own district as an incumbent. Terry Sewell, our only Democrat, still has the ability to run as an incumbent in her district. And then you go down to the lower part of the state where everything got crazy. I mean, like, crazy, when the courts redrew it. So you've got our two congressmen from the South, one of whom is the very conservative Freedom Caucus guy, Barry Moore, and the other one is Jerry Carl, Republican from Mobile. Well, they just got drawn into the same district. And so what's Barry Moore going to do? Well, it was just announced. Here's one for you. I mean, if you're wondering whether you're going to still have a Freedom Caucus guy in your delegation, well, here's the deal. Last Thursday, I think it was, Barry Moore announced that he plans to challenge Jerry Carl for his seat in the Alabama congressional delegation. So we got two incumbent Republicans who are going to run against each other for the right to continue to serve. I don't know when that's ever happened. First of all, it's just disdainful to me that we're having to do this at all. I mean, those two congressmen now having to run against each other, that's not the way it's supposed to be. The court just took hold of that and made themselves an opportunity to try and elect Democrats. But all that to say, we've now got Barry Moore. And by the way, I talked to somebody Thursday night, heard that there was a very interesting poll that was just done. Said that Barry Moore actually has more geographic territory in the district because it's part of what used to be his old district, has more geographic territory than Jerry Carl. That's true. And then you look at it and go, wow, they just cut Mobile County in half. That was a big part of Jerry Carl's, you know, base. And oh, wait a minute. Last time Jerry Carl ran against my friend Bill Hightower, he didn't win Baldwin County. Does that mean that he's vulnerable in the big Baldwin County, the Eastern Shore, Fairhope, Daphne, that area? Maybe. And then you look at it and go, so what are the polls saying? I'm hearing that a poll came out recently that says that that right now, Barry Moore is up in that race. Ways to go yet. Primary's got about 4 months left, but still, interesting to see we got two incumbent Republicans having to run against each other just to be able to stay in Congress. One of them is very conservative, and the other one is, you know, what I would call a conservative moderate. All right. And then you got this. So what's going to happen with the new Congressional District 2? All right, that's the one that goes from about just north of the Wiregrass area and just north of Mobile, kind of up through parts of the Black Belt and including parts of Montgomery. Well, we had, and I don't know her name because it's, here it is. Her name is Caroline Dobson. She's a Republican attorney in Montgomery who does live inside the district, who did announce she intends to run. Okay. And then you have just this morning, 1819 News reporting that actually a friend of mine, State Senator Greg Allbritton, I just saw him at the API dinner last Thursday. Greg Allbritton intends to run for U.S. House in District 2. But he doesn't live in the district. Huh. Yeah, my buddy Greg Allbritton, who is now currently a budget chairman in the House, he lives in Range, Alabama, which is over there near Atmore, I believe, and does not live in the district. He would not even be able to vote for himself. But in congressional stuff, you don't have to live in the district. And right now, as far as I know, I'm looking at this article from 1819, they've still got to find somebody to run, and ain't nobody signing up to run. Now, another friend of mine, Dick Brubaker, a former state senator, had said that he was interested in possibly running, but I'm hearing now that he's probably not going to, for whatever reason. I mean, it's a lot. It's a whole lot. Democrats may be running. But I'm seeing some names out there. There's talk about Anthony Daniels from Huntsville running. There's talk about Marika Coleman from Birmingham running. There was a thought that we might see the mayor of Montgomery, Stephen Reed, run. He announced he is not running. So right now we've got a seat that's got a potential, and we've got one very strong, fairly well-known, who used to have that part of that in his state Senate district, announcing he's running for Congress, doesn't live in the district. Interesting. We'll see how this pans out. And then we got to look at the national. What is happening right now? What is happening? I'll tell you what's happening with Biden is Democrats are having a freakout. Buyer's remorse has set in hard right now on Biden. I mean, it's like there is a strong desire to reach back into the past and try to get a redo. Can we have a mulligan? No, I'm sorry, you don't get that in golf. I mean, Biden right now is hanging on like a hairball. He's just stuck to the. They don't know what they're choking on him. And yet, a new poll just came out. And granted, we got a long ways to go, y'all, long ways to go to the general election a year from now. In fact, it'll be a year from tomorrow. Can you imagine? We got another year of this. But the primary is almost over. I mean, it's the primary's only got about 4 months left. Donald Trump is now leading the polls in 5 of 6 key swing states in a head-to-head with Joe Biden, leading him on issues like the economy, immigration, national security, according to a New York Times poll. Story here on the Daily Mail. Former President Trump is ahead with voters in Nevada, Georgia, Arizona, Michigan, and Pennsylvania by margins of at least 3 to 10 points. Wow. So all of a sudden, well, look at that. It's up there on the screen right now. It keeps happening. I keep talking, and they decide they want to listen to my show and go, quick, run a story on that. Williams is talking about it. It's funny. Wisconsin is currently the only swing state where Biden has a 2-point lead, according to the poll that was run by New York Times and Siena College. And so, yeah, y'all, this has got Democrats apoplectic right now. And I'll just be honest with you. I just have a hard time believing that Biden's going to go all the way here. But what are their options? Is there an option to let him bow out gracefully because he has health issues or because he has some type of infirmity or because he has an inability to get away from his own scandals? Are they going to let him step out and say, Kamala, don't you want to run? At that point, I feel certain what they'd say is, well, the vice president has decided that she would like to spend more time with her family. It's a good watch for it. So the poll reveals that 2/3 of the electorate sees the country moving in the wrong direction under Biden. and that the multi-generational and multiracial coalition with Kamala Harris is not having a positive effect. So there's that. So now we're looking at a buyer's remorse polling showing that Trump is wearing him out on the national level. They're doing all they can to crush the very soul of Donald Trump, and it ain't working. In fact, every time they try to indict him, he goes up in the polls. Listen, and by the way, Donald Trump he didn't have to. He chose to get on the stand during his own case up in New York today. And I guarantee you, he got on that stand and he did better sitting on the stand than Biden ever does in a canned softball speech. It's awful. All right, we're going to take a break right now. We'll come right back. I'm doing a section I'm calling Who's Running Where? I just told you some is happening right here in our congressional districts. And I'm telling you what's happening with the GOP. And then you've also got to look at what else is happening on the national level. Like, do they want him to come help local candidates down ballot races campaign? No, they don't want him to show up. It hurts their candidacies. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, listen, by the way, before we go too much further, I got to tell you, the Elm Foundation. All right, so the Elm Foundation, one of our sponsors, they are a 501c3 based out of Huntsville, doing amazing work. Doesn't matter where you are in the listening area, you need to know what they're doing. Because what they're doing, it can work in other places. I feel confident. We had them in the studio not so long ago and did an amazing interview with them about the things that they've got going on. The Elm Foundation, ELM, the Elm Foundation. You can find them on their website at ElmHSV. That's Elm Huntsville, ElmHSV.org. Listen, they are actually getting people back on their feet, off the streets, literally off the streets. Like giving them accountability, giving them a life plan, helping them to work. And by the way, this is not touchy-feely, not so whatsoever. This is accountability. This is called giving them hope. This is called creating the dignity of self-worth through work, of providing people an opportunity to actually earn a living. And then when they're not meeting their milestones, giving them someone to sort of give them that gut check, say, hey, man, you didn't make it. You didn't make that plan. You got to knuckle down. You got to stay in there. You got to work. The Elm Foundation. Y'all, they have a track record of truly developing self-sufficiency among people who just needed someone to walk them through the processes. So listen, it's the end of the year. They're a 501c3. If you're looking for a place to do some of your year-end giving, I want to encourage you, check them out. Check out the work they're doing. You can find their website at ElmHSV. That's Elm Huntsville. ElmHSV, the Elm Foundation. That's ElmHSV.org. And consider them because I think they're pretty incredible. All right, listen, we're going to wrap up this section here of wars and rumors. And I'm sorry, who's running where? And just by the way, I just confirmed that in a few minutes, top of the hour, our buddy Jeff Poor is going to call in. Had some very, very difficult things happen over the last few days. You know, they broke that major story about the mayor of Smith Station, Alabama, who's also a Baptist pastor, who was living a dual life as a transgender, you know, provocateur online. And the guy committed suicide this past weekend. It's become quite a thing. We're going to talk about it with Jeff Poor from 1819 News. They broke the story and just talk through the issue. But in the meantime, let me finish this one up. Who's running where? Well, the questions begin to swirl. With the polling being what it is Biden going to make it? Is he going to make it to the finish line? If he makes it to the finish line, is it going to be weakened at Bernie's? I mean, we're looking right now at a guy who just appears to be half out of it sometimes. He does not inspire confidence. He has no ability to lead. He's never led anything in his whole life. Now, I don't care that his age is, what, 80, 81? I don't care. If he's sharp as a tack, I'm good to go. If he can lead, if he can make decisions that benefit us, if he can drive the economy, if he can help set policy that is meaningful, great. Trump's not that much younger than him, to be honest. But Biden ain't cutting it. And that poll I told you about a minute ago, New York Times, showing that Biden is now down, significantly down, in 5 of the 6 major swing states. Well, David Axelrod, story here on Daily Wire. David Axelrod, longtime former advisor to Barack Obama, a Democrat pundit, he came out and said, whew, his quote, he goes, "It's very late to change horses. A lot will happen in the next year that no one can predict, and Biden's team says his resolve to run is firm. He's defied conventional wisdom before, but this is going to send tremors of doubt through the party. Not bedwetting," he says, "but legitimate concern." Yeah. He says the greatest concern is his biggest liability is the one thing he can't change. Among all the unpredictables, there's only one thing for sure. The age arrow only points in one direction. Well, it's really not the age arrow. It's the infirmity arrow. It's the competency arrow. It's the ability to hang in there arrow. It's the guy who takes vacations every single weekend. So, yeah, there's reason to be concerned for Democrats. And I'm just curious, has Gavin Newsom, like, has he already locked in the donor base and measured for the drapes in the Oval Office? By the way, don't let Gavin Newsom serve soup to the president. Just saying. Okay, several other things you might want to know in terms of who's getting elected where, who's running where, is did you hear already, I hope you did, that the state of Alabama is about to host the next GOP election. Election primary. That's big doings. It's going to be right there at the University of Alabama in Tuscaloosa. And they've actually narrowed it down as to who's allowed to participate. Well, you know, former Vice President Mike Pence, he's already dropped out. He suspended his campaign. So did some of what I would call the also-rans, Larry Elder. But you've got, right now, the standards are being tough. In order to make the stage at the Alabama-based GOP primary debate, you have to be getting at least 6% in 2 nationally approved polls, or at least 6% in 1 poll from 2 of the separate early voting states. It's kind of convoluted. Bottom line is you got to be polling good. And then you've also got to have what they call 80,000 unique donors. In other words, it can't be all one super PAC. You've got to have 80,000 unique donors indicating you've got a large spread of people willing to financially support your race. And those can be $20 donations. That's fine. 80,000. And at least 200 of those have to be per state or territory in 20 or more states. They're really working this issue. All right. So right now, it looks like the only ones who could qualify are going to be Trump, if he says yes, DeSantis, Nikki Haley, and I don't know that any of the rest of them are polling high enough to get there. I mean, it could be a very narrow field. In fact, it could be just Nikki Haley and Ron DeSantis. I don't know yet. But that's what's going to happen. And that's, by the way, that's going to be, to me, that's where you really find out. When you don't have this big dog and pony show with 12 people on the stage, each one hoping for an opportunity, and you get it down to like the 3 or 4, then you start to find out what people stand for. And then lastly, I'll say this. Democrats, they don't want Biden to come help them campaign. Story here on the Washington Examiner. You know, usually the top of the ticket, endorsements or helping you do stuff, yeah. That ain't happening. Right now, Biden just went ahead and steered clear of Virginia altogether because they have one of the bellwether elections, a gubernatorial election where they pretty much said, "Could you just not come?" Yeah, thanks. That's where we are, folks. Who's running where? I told you about Alabama and National. More to come. In the meantime, coming right back with our buddy Jeff Poore to have a pretty serious conversation about some things that happened over the last few days. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.